or a memorial. Now, look at verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And look at verse 36. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a lace of blue, and it shall be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow and all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord, and thou shalt weave the coat, and so forth, and so forth. Now, Numbers chapter 3. Verse 27. And of Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Izrahites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites, according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward. There were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath shall encamp, so forth and so on, 31, and their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister, and the screen, and all the service thereof. Now that's interesting, but it doesn't tell us the whole story. Now turn to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 2. The princes of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, offered. These were the princes of the tribes. These are they that were over them that were numbered, and they brought their oblation before the Lord. 6 covered wagons, and 12 oxen, a wagon for every 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox. And they presented them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take it of them, that they may be used in doing the service of the tent of meeting. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagon and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon, according to their service. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonged unto them. They bear it upon their shoulders. And one other scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 35. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 3. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel that were holy unto the Lord, Put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. There shall no more be a burden upon your shoulders. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you that our hearts are still fascinated with this book that thou didst write for us so long ago. As children, the stories of David and Goliath, of Samson and the lion, fascinated us as children. But our Father, now we have grown old and could have children and grandchildren, and the same book still fascinates us. But we look upon it, our Father, more reverently. We look upon it as a foundation that cannot be shaken. We thank you. We rejoice in the portions that we have read tonight. We pray, our Father, that the things that they might have meant to Israel and the things that they should mean to us shall come across to us. By thy Spirit, illumine us. Let us see the truths contained in thy word. Not by words only, but by all of these articles of furniture that thou hast brought to our attention. Prepare the hearts of the people of God, the lips of him who speaks, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bless us this night, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. While there may be some who would complain about the burdens they have to bear in the responsibility of the things of God, it is nothing of which I would complain. My complaint would be if you took away from me the great honor of bearing these responsibilities of the things of God. Remember that. There are some, when they do the service of God, who act like those priests in the book of Malachi. Concerning their service for the Lord, they snuffed at it. They said, what a weariness it is. I assure you this, that I look forward to each Lord's Day morning in which I may come and remember the Savior. Each opportunity of preaching the word. The only thing that is tedious about it is how much you have to study to tell you so very little accurately. But as for the joy of telling people the truths of God, I rejoice in it. And so every responsibility that has fallen upon me, I would not renounce it, but I would be faithful to it. And this is what God is bringing to our attention tonight. The burdens that he placed upon those descended of the tribe of Levi. Now remember that in this tribe, all came from the same father. Levi had these sons. He had Gershon, he had Kohath, and Merari. But of these, Kohath had four sons. He had Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Now from Amram came Aaron. All of them are descended from Levi. But from Levi, son Kohath, and Kohath's son Amram, was descended Aaron, and the priesthood was his. But all the other descendants of Levi had the service of the tabernacle. Aaron and his descendants had the service of the priesthood, but the Levites had the service of the tabernacle. But, in the will of God, perhaps I'll tell you more details next week, concerning these Levites, the Gershonites had certain responsibilities, the Merarites had certain responsibilities, and also the Kohathites had certain responsibilities. And we do not learn the particulars of those responsibilities until we read in Numbers all the way to chapter 7. That is why you must, child of God, not read one portion of the Bible, but read all portions of the Bible. Let me give you an example. It says that the ephod is to be made of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. What does it mean, the ephod is made of gold? How do you make an ephod of gold? You read further and it tells you. You take gold, you beat it thin, and then you cut it into wires, and you work that gold throughout
all of the ephod, all the material of the ephod. It doesn't tell you that at first. It says the ephod is made of gold. I might have thought a big sheet of gold overlaying it some way, as gold overlays the staves that went in the Ark of the Covenant and other articles of furniture. But it tells you how. Now, in like manner, when it speaks about the responsibilities of the tribe of Levi, you'll find that God makes a distinction between the sons of Amram, Aaron and his descendants, and all the other Levites. All of them were set aside to the glory of God, to function in and around the tabernacle. But there were specific services for Aaron and his son. And then, even though there were other Levites that did not have the priesthood, it wasn't everything all brought together and anyone did anything he chose. But God had specific duties for the Merarites and the Gershonites and the Kohathites. And this is what has happened to the people of God today. The Lord has distributed to us certain responsibilities, and if we have these responsibilities, some of us could shirk them. That was the guilt of Archippus. Paul has to write and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that you fulfill it. Isn't that remarkable? That some have received a ministry from God, but they would shirk it. And they need to be exhorted to take heed to that ministry. And others think that they have a gift, and they have to be told that they do not have this gift. They should function in this area, not in that area. It's good for a man to know, spiritually, whether he is descended from Aaron, or Gershon, or Merari, or Kohath. Because even though there is no priesthood and laity, as in Israel, we are all a kingdom of priests. At the same time, there are various divisions, and there are certain ones that have had entrusted to them particulars concerning the service of God that others do not. Do you realize that those who have been commended to the work of the Lord, and Paul says this, he compares them to the priests in the Old Testament. He speaks about the functions of the priests, and then he says, do not we who serve the Lord have the same privileges that the priests do in the Old Testament? So there are comparisons, even though all of us are priests today, there are still comparisons when duties are distributed among the people of God that are similar to those that we have in the Old Testament. And this, even though all of us are priests today, even though all of us can go into the holiest of all, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, still, there are certain responsibilities placed upon certain ones of us, and God expects us to attend to those responsibilities. And so, as you think of these things and what they represent, ask yourself, well, just what is my service in the sight of God? Remember now, I said tonight this would be a message about burden bearers. And not only the Levites, who had the service of the tabernacle, had burdens to bear, but also Aaron the priest had burdens to bear, and he as an individual had more burdens to bear than any of the Levites. Because if I were of the tribe of Kohath, I had one particular burden to bear. But if I were Aaron, I had three burdens to bear. You see, the Kohathites had to bear one particular burden on their shoulders. But Aaron had three burdens to bear. He had a burden to bear on his shoulders, and on his heart, and on his forehead. He had three burdens to bear. What is remarkable is this, that when Aaron is pictured bearing burdens on his shoulders and heart and forehead, that is a picture of Christ bearing the nation of Israel, bearing the people of God. But when you have the Levites bearing the articles of furniture upon their shoulders, that is a picture of the people of God bearing the Lord Jesus Christ as they pass through this wilderness journey. And that's the marvel. That here is Christ pictured bearing us. But, he says, I also picture your bearing me. Now, all of us will rejoice when we speak of the excellences of Jesus Christ as he does all of these things for us. We like that. But I wonder if Christ ever looks at us and wonders about our bearing him before the world as we go through this wilderness journey. Tell me, do you know anything about bearing the articles of furniture of the tabernacle? Well, first of all, let me tell you how the high priest symbolizes Christ and the threefold way that he bears the burden of the people of God. And the Lord Jesus has never complained about it. In John chapter 17, he said, Father, he said, the ones that you gave me, he said, I've kept them my whole life long. Not one of them is lost, save Judas Iscariot. He said, not one of them is lost. Think of this. The Lord Jesus, our great high priest, bore all of his disciples completely without losing one true disciple. He bore them his whole life long. Now let me ask you, concerning Christ and truths concerning him, since you've been saved, do you still carry all of those truths, those genuine truths contained in the Word of God that the Lord laid upon you to bear? Or have some of them become too heavy and you've laid them aside? Or some of them have lost importance to you and you've laid them aside? What if the Lord Jesus said, well, you're not important anymore to me. You're not working for me. You're not serving me. I'm just going to take you off my shoulders. Would you agree to that? You say, God forbid. Well, what do you think the Lord Jesus thinks when today that remembrance meeting that has been so precious, that has been borne by the people of God that gathered to his name so long, I find it no longer in a prominent place. And God willing, I'll tell you about that next week. The most prominent place about Christ, instead of that, they have relegated it to a distant place, a place of unimportance, a relic of the past that some of us years ago enjoyed doing, but it has no meaning for us today. You see what we're doing? We are taking these burdens that God says are to be borne, and we are laying them aside. This is how Paul speaks of it. He speaks to the Corinthians, and he describes the condition of his life. He speaks of all the toil, the hunger, the poverty, the ridicule. He speaks of all of those things. And he says, but it's for you. Already you have become rich. Now, there is a time when we're going to become rich. But Paul said, this is not the time. That's why I read you from Chronicles. It spoke of a time when those burdens borne by the Levites would no longer be borne, when the ark was placed in permanence in the temple that Solomon built for God. And so then, the Levites did not have to worry anymore about carrying the ark of the covenant, the ark of the testimony upon their shoulders. But until the temple was built, they were responsible to bear personally upon their shoulders all of these articles of furniture, and in particular, that Ark of the Covenant. This means that as we go through this age, and the Lord Jesus has said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, it means that we are to spiritually carry all that is typified in these articles of furniture, and they are to be borne upon our shoulders. And we are never to set them off our shoulders until what time? The end of the age comes. And when you have Solomon at his temple, that is a picture of the end of this age. It is no longer this age of grace, but it is the time of manifestation. It is the time of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, if you will carry the Lord until the millennium, you will not have that responsibility anymore. You will not have to do with him then as you do now. The circumstances will be entirely different. But until then, they are to be carried on. These articles of furniture were not to be laid down until word is given when the temple is built. All right, let's think for a moment of Christ pictured bearing his burdens, and they're in three places. There are many ways that God speaks of strength, but one of them is shoulders. And it says, the names of the children of Israel are to be borne upon the onyx stone upon the shoulders of Aaron. And so God says, the strength of my son is at your disposal. How beautiful. I think of this. Christ speaks about our security in many ways. He says this thing, but he does it individually. In Luke chapter 15, when the shepherd went out and found the sheep that was lost, it says, he layeth it on his shoulders, and when he comes home rejoicing, he calls his neighbors. You know when you're going to be taken off the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ? When he gets you home. You say, why, that's all the way. Why, of course it is. That's why we believe that we have eternal life and we shall never perish. Because if it depended upon my upholding Christ and then his accepting me because of my faithfulness and upholding him, God knows I would never get home. But it's not that way. God gives both of the pictures, Christ and his bearing of burdens, and then our bearing of burdens. And when it comes to Christ, you'll find that the onyx stones were always upon the shoulders of Aaron. And just as that sheep individually, now notice, the children of Israel are brought out, first of all, collectively. You have six names on one onyx stone, and you have six names on the other onyx stone. But when it comes to the breastplate, you have 12 distinct stones. So here is each tribe looked at distinctly, containing certain characteristics different from the others, and yet all of them upon the breastplate, upon the heart of Aaron. But here we are collectively, all together, all the tribes, and they're upon the shoulders of Aaron. And Aaron bears those onyx stones whenever he ministers unto God. It is for a memorial. And God, whenever Satan might accuse us before him, whenever Satan would have us cast down, God is reminded by the names upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus will never remove us from his shoulders. And then as an individual, not only an individual tribe, but we as individual lost sheep that Christ has found and laid upon his shoulder, we are going to remain there until Christ gets home. And that is my hope of security. It is the strength of Christ's shoulders, and this is pictured in the onyx stones, being upon the shoulders of Christ. It says also that there is the breastplate, and it mentions the word, upon his heart. You remember when John, the beloved apostle, was upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, that was a great privilege for that man. Indeed it was. But think of 12 stones. Not one of them. The 12 stones being upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that all the people of God, as there were 12 different tribes, so let us say there are 12 different races. It makes no difference. Each one was precious, and each one was upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in John, we have the individual enjoying the love, the contentment, the security of love upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In these 12 stones, at least, the tribe of Reuben and Simeon and Levi, they could say, our tribe is resting upon the high priest's heart. Well, you and I can say, we also are upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the glory of being born upon the heart of Christ. And I will make it simple rather than go into details and just say that the heart is a picture of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often, it is the intellect, it is the thought. But when he thinks of us with love. But here we are upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's not one tribe left out. And so, I'm resting upon the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm secure because he's strong. And at the same time, I am secure because the Lord Jesus loves me. It says in John chapter 13, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And at no time does he take us and remove us from his heart. The glory is this, that as the Lamb is on the shoulders of Christ until he gets home, it says, Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. You see, both times. He carries me till I get home, and he loves me unto the end. You say, well, if he loves me that long, his love shall never cease. Why, of course not. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this is what he's trying to tell us. Because we are pictured in those stones upon the heart of the high priest. Now, here is what is so remarkable, and you must grasp it to see the beauty of it. Most of the time, we think of that lamb, that goat, as making atonement, as bearing sin and iniquity. And Aaron the high priest, on the day of atonement, places his hands upon that sin offering, the goat of the sin offering, and he confesses over it all the sins and iniquities of the children of Israel, and they are transferred upon that animal. And that animal bears the sins and iniquities of the children of Israel. You say, that's beautiful. Here is Christ. Here is the Christ, the curse. He's made a curse for us. He's bearing our iniquities. That's a good picture. But the greatest picture is that of Aaron, the high priest, bearing upon his head that golden plate, and it has holiness to the Lord. And it says, Aaron shall bear the iniquities of the children of Israel. You say, how can a man do that? Well, how can an animal do that? You say, an animal can only do it typically. Why, a man can only do it typically. And whom did that animal typify? You say, Christ. Well, whom did Aaron the high priest typify? You say, Christ. Well, is there anything wrong with Christ bearing our iniquities? You say, no. Then all our iniquities were laid upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've told you, that God does not show us a truth one way, but in a variety of ways, such as the humanity of Christ. It's found in the fine twine linen. It's found in the acacia wood. You find in various ways the humanity of Christ. Not one way, but in a variety of ways. So in like manner, Christ, the sin bearer, is pictured not in one way, but in a variety of ways. And it is pictured in an animal on the Day of Atonement. But it's pictured in Aaron the high priest when upon his head, his forehead, all the iniquities of the children of Israel are born. It's like this. If we look at that lamb, we say, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's moving. But the most beautiful type of it is in Genesis chapter 22. Not when an animal, finally it has to resort to that. Not an animal, but when God says to Abram, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering upon the mountain that I shall tell thee of. Now, which is more impressive? When an animal pictures the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world, or when Abraham is prepared to offer Isaac, his son, his only son whom he loves? You say, when Abraham offers his son Isaac, why, of course. And when an animal bears sin, that is a good type. But when Aaron is spoken of as bearing the iniquities of the children of Israel, you say, that is even greater still. And so here is Christ taking upon his head. Think of this now. The animal's head. Aaron's hands are laid upon it, and all the iniquities are transferred upon the head of that animal. But now it says, upon the head of Aaron are the iniquities of the children of Israel. And so all our iniquities on him was laid. And here is Christ, our sin bearer. He bore our iniquities. Here is Christ, our strength, who supports us until we get home. And here is Christ, the lover of our souls, and we shall remain upon his breast until the end. Having loved his own, he loved us unto the end. You say, thank God for Jesus Christ, the burden bearer. And all of these burdens that are presented to us that he bears are the pictures of the people of God. That's so beautiful. He bears other things. He bears the government upon his shoulder. He has other responsibilities. But when it comes to the priest, it says three times, he shall bear, then, upon his shoulders, upon his heart, upon his head. And all of these things that the high priest bears have to do with the children of Israel. So thank God for Christ my burden bearer. Now, I say that Aaron pictures Christ bearing the children of Israel. But when it comes to the articles of furniture, this pictures the children of Israel bearing Christ. Because we have these articles of furniture, we have the Ark of the Covenant, and we have the altar of incense, and we have the brazen altar, we have the table of showbread, we have the candlestick, and all of these things are pictures of Christ. But what are these articles of furniture bearing? You say, why, they are not bearing anything. There is a slight suggestion upon that table having bread upon it. But even though it does, whenever the cloud lifts and the children of Israel are to travel, the staves are to be placed in these articles of furniture, and they are to be carried through the wilderness. I say the articles are to be placed there, and this is suggested, and it is an excellent suggestion. It says the staves are never to be removed. You'll find that all of these articles of furniture had various coverings. They had coverings of blue and coverings of scarlet and coverings of purple, and they also had skins that covered them. They had the veil that covered them. And inasmuch as they were to be completely covered, evidently, when the skins and the coverings were placed over them, the staves had to be removed and the coverings fitted tightly around them and then the staves put in again. It was not that the staves had not been in there, but they had been there, but they had to be removed and then placed in again. Just keep that in mind. Take that suggestion, at least. And when they were placed in, and the ritual, and perhaps I'll tell you more about that next week, when the ritual was carried out, then all of these articles of furniture were carried by the Kohathites upon their shoulders. There were six wagons. There were two given to the Gershonites, and there were four given to the Merarites. And they never had to carry one thing personally. Think of that. All of the accoutrements of the tabernacle, except the furniture, were carried in covered wagons. This was an afterthought, man would say, but I take it that it was something that God allowed the children of Israel to figure out for this reason. He said concerning the articles of furniture, they are to have staves in them. They are to be carried. Now, if there's staves in the furniture, it could mean only one thing. You are to carry that furniture on those staves. But think of these curtains. Think of a curtain that is 100 cubits long, 150 feet long, 50 yards of curtain, and men have to carry it. How many men could have that? All of them would be carrying. How awkward it would be to carry that. And you have 60 pillars of the court. Think of all the men, one of them carrying a pillar on one shoulder and one carrying a pillar on the other shoulder. At here you say, yes, it would be strange. And here they're carrying all of this skin, the ram skin dyed red. Yes, the children of Israel saw that. They said, we want to get six wagons to help the people of God in the service of the tabernacle. Now, there are some things that men suggest, and God says, no. But there are other things that men suggest, and God says, yes. Have you ever looked and seen how the work of God is carried on, and you see some improvements? It may very well be that God has left some things unanswered that you might think them through, just like the Gershonites and the Merarites. They need wagons. There's no doubt. They need wagons. And God allowed the elders of Israel to look at it think through the situation and say, we're going to give as a gift to God those wagons. And when they gave them, God took it. Do not think that God always takes the gifts. You remember when Cain brought a gift to God? God said, I don't want that gift as it is. But when the wagons were brought to God, God says to Moses, take those wagons, give them to the Levites for service. So, this meant so much. It meant that all the heavy sockets and all the pillars and all the additional pillars, the five pillars and the four pillars, that were at least 10 cubits high, they did not have to be carried by man, but they were placed upon these covered wagons. And then all was in order, and all of these sockets that weighed about 100 pounds apiece, they were placed on the wagon. Here is a man. Suppose you had to walk through the desert carrying a socket weighing 100 pounds. How far could you walk with one? You say, I don't know. Well, maybe two of us, we could. All right, you take 50 pounds, and I'll take 50 pounds as we walk through. You say, it would be a wearisome burden, yes. So God says, use the wagons. So the Merarites and the Gershonites had to carry nothing. They had to be able to see to it that the cart safely went through the desert. But God specifically says this, concerning the Kohathites, they are to be given no wagons. They are to carry the furniture of the tabernacle upon their shoulders. Because God expects this intimacy in connection with these things that speak so strongly of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be borne by beasts of burden and in wagons, but to be personally borne upon the shoulders of the children of Israel. Now, of the Kohathites, there were 8,600. So, that wouldn't be so hard. The heaviest thing was the brazen altar that was 5 cubits, let's say 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet, by 4.5 feet high, made of wood, covered with brass one time, and then covered again with brass the second time. That would be the heaviest burden, and perhaps you would have 8 men carrying it. 2 men on this stave, 2 men on this one, and then in the front, 2 and 2. God knows how many there were, but that would be a heavy burden, and they would carry it. But if they got tired, there were 8,600 of them. They could take turns. Now, when it came to the little Ark of the Covenant, it was a small thing. It was a light thing. Now, the candlestick weighed about 120 pounds. And so you say 2 men could carry that, yes, some things. But even though that Ark, that brazen altar, weighed so much, God said, still, it has to be carried on the shoulders. I will just tell you about this one tonight. Each one depicts Christ. It's evident that the candlestick is Christ, the light of the world, that the altar of incense is Christ, our intercessor in the presence of God. But let's just look at this brazen altar, which is not the cross of Calvary, but it is Christ, once the Lamb is placed on it, Christ at the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. Without a Lamb, it's not the cross of Calvary. Without the Lamb, it is Christ in his ability to bear the judgment of God. But once you put the Lamb on it, why, that is the Lamb bearing the judgment of God. And Christ on the cross of Calvary bore the judgment of God. So here is the cross of Christ. And I believe that that is the heaviest burden that is placed upon our shoulders as children of God today. It was for Paul. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 1 and in Galatians 5 and 6. He says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. He says, to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. He says, to the Greeks, it is foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But in Galatians, he speaks of the stumbling block, the offense of the cross, and he also speaks about the persecution of the cross. And it says that some of those to whom he writes, he says, they are casting off the cross of Christ. They're having you circumcised. Why? It says that the offense of the cross might be done away. They want you to be circumcised, that they are not persecuted for the cross of Christ. And one of the most difficult things that you have to preach as a minister of the gospel is this, to tell men, you are a sinner. There is no way to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. In you there is no good thing, And Christ is the only way to heaven. Only his precious blood will save you. By grace through faith, it is the cross of Jesus Christ. And men think it's foolishness, and to some it is a stumbling block. But God says you are to carry that on your shoulders your whole life long. And some say, we are changing this article of furniture. We are not going to carry it on our shoulders anymore. Why? Because there is the persecution of the cross, and there is the offense of the cross, the stumbling block of the cross. And what do? Why, we want to get it off of our shoulders. We want to dissociate ourselves with it, because it is such a weighty doctrine that we have to carry through life. But I say it's one of the most precious privileges that God has given, to carry that gospel of the grace of God through life. And the Lord says it's not to be carried by animals on a cart. It's to be carried in all its weightiness and in all its heaviness upon the shoulders of the people of God. And so, dear one, the Lord says all the truth is to go through the wilderness with you. Remember that. All of the tabernacle speaks of Christ, and some of it is on the six wagons, but God says some of this truth is so precious, is so personal, that is to be carried upon your shoulders. Let us never weary. Let us never be like those at Galatia who want to get rid of the cross of Christ. But let us willingly rejoice to carry those furnitures through the wilderness. And just as Christ is going to carry us until the end, until the consummation of the age, he loves us unto the end. He bore all our sins. They were laid upon his head. So let us be faithful to him. Christ is faithfully our burden bearer. By God's grace, let us faithfully be Christ's burden bearer. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank thee for the faithfulness of thy Son. There's never a doubt in anyone who has read in the scriptures of his faithfulness. He began to love us when we were enemies, and he's going to love us now that we belong to him. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you. But our God, we think of our unfaithfulness when it comes to bearing Christ through life. Forgive us, our God, when we've complained about his burden being too heavy. Any of the doctrines, any of the things concerning his person or work, forgive us, Father, when we've wanted to remove them from our shoulders and place them upon a wagon, or even leave them behind and go through life without it. We thank you for the great privilege that is ours, our Father, of being Kohathites. May it ever be precious, and may we never lay it aside. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.